would, Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to just read two or three verses here, but sort of key in on one statement that the Lord makes, and then we'll make some references back in the Old Testament, showing some things that are in reference to this. He says in verse number 23, and we'll read down through verse 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Probably that last phrase there in verse number 26, no telling how many messages and sermons have been preached upon that subject, where it says here, With God all things are possible. Thank God tonight that whatever comes our way, God can make a way through that, and God can help us. Here the Lord had told them it's very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And said it'd be easier to go through the eye of a needle than it would be for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. And so the disciples questioned within themselves, and they said, Who then can be saved? Well, the whole emphasis here is not necessarily the difficulty of going through an eye of a needle, and by the way, that's probably a lot different than what we think of as the eye of a needle. There was a place that was a very narrow passageway that was called Needle's Eye, and the Lord always used illustrations that they could relate to. We hear that phrase, the eye of the needle. We think about someone that sews and has the thread go through a needle, which is very, very small. And so it's still the same reference or the same thing, talking about very difficult. And a rich person sometimes depends upon their riches and depends upon what they have and what they've accomplished rather than to depend upon the Lord. And so therefore it makes it very difficult for them to be able to go to heaven. Because to go to heaven, we must really fall at the Lord's feet, totally at His disposal, bankrupt before Him, knowing that what we have doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how many possessions we have. Doesn't matter how many good things we have accomplished or tried to do. That's not what takes us to heaven. But sometimes religion tells us the more we do, the more we think that we'll be okay. Religion is a very damaging thing when it comes to salvation, because religionists tell us you've got to do. The Lord says it's already been done, and He took care of our sins upon Calvary, and we can't work for them. By grace we're saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. And then it goes on and says, lest any man should boast. And so if we could say, look what we have done, we have accomplished certain things, and so the Lord's going to smile at me, and the Lord's going to look upon me, and I'm going to be accepted into the kingdom of God. I have talked to a lot of people, and probably if you've talked to very many people about the Lord, you'll find that there are many people that will tell you, I'm trying my best to get to heaven. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing all I can, best of my ability and the best of my knowledge. I'm trying to do those things in order to go to heaven. Well, our best is it falls short. Our best is not enough. It's not by what we have done or are doing or even would do in the future, but our salvation is best is given to us because of Him. And so these disciples, when they heard this illustration that Jesus gave to them, they said, well, who then can be saved? If it's impossible for this to take place, who can be saved? The Lord doesn't really answer their question on who. He just answers their question on who He is and on the possibilities of God. He says, with men this is impossible. You and I tonight, there's a lot of impossibilities in our life. A lot of things that we will never accomplish. A lot of things we cannot do. A lot of things that we'll never be able to do. But then he goes ahead and says, but with God, all things are possible. So tonight I want us to think about nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is out of God's reach. Nothing is out of God's possession. Anything that He so chooses to do, He can do, even though it's impossible with men. Even though it's something that we cannot do ourselves. And so, since the beginning of time, God has demonstrated His ability. God has demonstrated that He can accomplish anything. Some of the great accomplishments would be, of course, number one would be the creation of this world, the creation of man, and speaking into existence, the solar system and the earth and the sun, all the things that we look upon. When God said, let there be light, there was light, and He hadn't even created the sun yet. He hadn't made that yet. And so God can do anything He chooses, and He has the ability in His almighty power to accomplish anything. Before the foundation of the world, salvation was already complete in Jesus Christ. Many verses in the Bible let us know that it's before the foundation of this world that Jesus was as a lamb slain, and therefore it was going to accomplish in the process of time this thing called salvation. So God created the world. God created everything that we see and have. He made the Red Sea to open, as we studied last Sunday. He made the Jordan River to open and walk across on dry ground, and about a 25-mile spread there of the river dried up. And so God's able to do those things that we would never, never be able to do. We are limited in our resources. We are restricted in the things that God permits us. But God is not limited, and God never has been limited. And He has no restrictions upon Him. God can do as He so chooses. And so we find tonight where we read there in verse number 26, with God, all things are possible. The attributes of the Lord are unchanging. He's not different every decade or every year. He'd be the same today, tomorrow, the next day. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so His attributes, His life, and who He is never does change. Even though there's times of turmoil, times of problems, God's always omnipotent. God's always all-powerful. He's always omniscient. He's always everywhere at the same time. He's always omniscient. He's always knowing everything. And He's omnipresent at the same place all the different times. And He is God. And so therefore, He is limitless in His ability. And so I want us to look at this, really, I guess, the portion, the omnipotence of the Lord, His ability to do as He so chooses. But with God, all things are possible. I'm going to give two illustrations, and one of them is very, very familiar, back in the book of Genesis. And we've looked at this a number of times, and look at, again, Genesis chapter number 18. In Genesis chapter 18, we find out that God can do the impossible. God can do what is impossible to you and I. And these verses that we'll look at here in this chapter show that. And the Lord has come to Abraham. Abraham is that friend of God. And let's look in verse number 1 of chapter number 18. The Lord, that's Jehovah, appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, rest yourselves under the tree. And he goes on down in verse number 9. He's still talking to them. He said unto them, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I certainly bear a child which am old? Verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Here is a what we call a theophany. The Lord Jehovah meets with Abraham, talks with him, and gives him this message that Sarah is going to have a child, and Sarah's going to have a baby, and he and Sarah both were well past the age of having children, and. She laughs, and Abraham, he also has, I'm sure, doubts in his own heart. And the Lord said of a surety, he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So here is a definite message that God gives to Abraham, and Jehovah knows that she's laughed, and so he says, when I come back, she's going to have a child, and Abraham is going to be a father. And so we know the story of the process of time when it takes place. What was humanly hopeless becomes now something that's out there in the future, because nothing is too hard for our God. And the Lord even asked the question, is anything, name something that would be too hard for God to do? Try to do that. Abraham's already 100 years old. Sarah, his wife, is 90. They had already celebrated year after year of their marriage, and really at this time, about 75 years they had been married. And now God says to them, "It's time to start a family." Now, humanly speaking, that's impossible. Now, humanly speaking, that's no physical way that would happen, but with God, all things are possible. With the Lord, it can happen. Someone made this statement, says, when God is going to do something wonderful, he starts with difficulty. When God is going to do something very wonderful and special and miraculously, he starts with an impossibility. And so God can do those things, and when he wants to do that, certainly he can. And Sarah now, she has no children. We know the story, how that she was, how that Hagar took the place of Sarah. She has a child. Sarah becomes very bitter about that. She has no children. And the word Sarah means noble woman, and I believe she was a noble woman. And she eavesdrops from the tent door. You notice the scripture says she's behind the tent door. She hears the conversation that this man, who is the Lord, speaking to Abraham. And she listens and eavesdrops there in verse number 10. In verse 11 and 12, she laughs. And she has skepticism, doubt, and unbelief that conflicts with the facts of life. And the angel then said unto Abraham, is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And so in verse number 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. So here you have Sarah. She listens, she laughs, and she lies, all because of what she had heard that's impossible. She listens to the statement, and she laughs within herself. She doubts within her heart, and she has skepticism in her mind that this is impossible, that will never happen, I'll never have children. And now when she's confronted with it, she denies, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And she said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And so here we find Sarah, a noble woman, yet in her doubts, she begins to do things that she would not normally do. And she says things that she would not normally say. And of course, we know that The Lord gave her a child, and his name given to us, and Isaac was born, and there we have the beginning of the nation of Israel through all those many centuries and years, and have even tonight. And so she says, I did not laugh. She lies, but she had the promise of the Lord. She had the promise that God was going to give her that son. There's some observations that we can take from these verses. Number one, and we've already covered that a little bit, there is no promise too hard for God to keep. Nothing is too hard for God to keep. If God gives us a promise, then He can take care of that. Then in the book of Jeremiah, turn over there if you would just for a moment, in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 32. Another reference here. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 17. Now Jeremiah's been told to buy some property, to buy some land, and that God was going to bring Israel back to its place. In verse 15, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Jeremiah, of course, has witnessed the almost total destruction of the nation of Israel. And God tells him to go out and buy some places. And he says there's going to be houses, there's going to be vineyards in this land again. And then in verse 16 says, now when I have delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Nera, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. God says, is there anything too hard for me? God says, is there anything that I cannot do? And here Jeremiah says, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And so when God promises something, He can perform that promise. Sometimes you and I make promises and we can't do it. Somebody said, will you make me a promise? Boy, I hate to say yes to that, because sometimes the promise don't fulfill. Sometimes we don't have the ability to do what someone would have us to do. But God told Jeremiah, said, if you buy those places, He says, I'll take care of the rest of it. There will be in the fields, there will be, again, vineyards shall be in this land. And so God says, I can do it. Sarah laughed, Sarah lied, but she didn't lose all hope with the Lord, because in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11 it says, through faith also Sarah herself. So here's this same Sarah in the book of Hebrews that's mentioned in the book of Genesis. And here in the list of those heroes of the faith, through faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She doubted, she laughed, she probably thought in her heart, and there's no way that took place, but yet it came to a point that she believed God, and just as Abraham had believed God, it was given to him for righteousness. Now Sarah has believed the Lord, and now she realizes and she has judged him faithful who has promised. If God has promised a son, then He will give that son. So I'm glad tonight that we can we can depend upon the promises of the Word of God. Everything God has given to us in the Scripture and given us promise after promise, I'll never leave thee and forsake thee, call upon me, I'll hear thee. Multitudes of promises in the Scripture. I'm glad that we can just depend and say there's no promise too hard for God to keep. He can keep His Word, and thank God He does keep His Word. There's no promise too hard. There's no prayer too hard for God to answer. God knows our needs. God knows our desires of our heart. And in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, just one chapter over where we were reading, here's that great promise that God gave to Jeremiah. It says, call unto me, I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. I remember Miss Polly, she taught her kids in school when she was here. She said, that's God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3. She said, you call and he'll answer. And she told that, I heard her say that so many times, call unto me and I will answer thee. And then he says, I'll show you great things, mighty things, which you know not. The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer. The great tragedy of our life is unoffered prayer. It's not that God doesn't answer. It's not that God doesn't hear us. It's not that God will not perform for us. So many times it's that we will not call upon Him. So God says, you call unto me, I'll answer you. And then I'll show you great, mighty things. So there's no promise, there's no prayer, there's no problem too hard for Him to solve. It doesn't matter what problems we're in. And I'll tell you what, we may not be in a situation now, but we can be tomorrow. It happens real quick. We can go to the doctor and you get the bad report. You can go to somewhere else and get a report that you do not want. And so there's a problem that it faces all of us. There's difficulties that come to each of us. But there's not a problem He can't solve. Not a problem He can't handle. And thank God tonight, it's because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Then fourthly, there's not a person too hard for God to save. There's nobody gets beyond the reach of the Lord. Now there are times, I believe, that people will just continually sin against God and reject the Lord, that He no longer deals with them. He no longer bothers them. He no longer convicts them. But there's nobody, as far as we know, I mean, I'm not the judge of it, you're not the judge of it, but there's nobody that we know that God cannot reach and would not reach. And He says, you call unto me and I'll answer. He's faithful and just, forgive us of our sins. And so there's not a person too hard that God would not or could not save. Hebrews 7:25 says, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to Him or come to God by Him. And so the servant here, Abraham and Sarah, they realized that God promised. Sarah realized and counted God as faithful, and God gave her that son. And God can answer our prayer. God can solve our problem. And God can save those that are lost. Sometimes we think it's almost impossible. I have said, others have said, there's really no use because they're not going to listen. Well, that's not our place. Our place is to tell. Our place is to give them the story. It's God's place to convict them of their sin and that they might come into Him. Certainly, God is able to do that. If God can do anything, why doesn't He do everything that we think He should? Because God knows best. God knows what we are. Jeremiah and Sarah both had a hard time believing God. Jeremiah said, my country's ravaged. It's fallen. You read the book of Jeremiah, you read Lamentations, and Jeremiah's heart is broken. But yet God said, you go out and buy some parcels of land because there's going to be vineyards again in this land. God was promising to Jeremiah that He was going to bring Israel back. And, of course, He did that. And so Sarah and Jeremiah both had a hard time believing when they knew what God had said would come to pass. You and I, sometimes we have a hard time believing God. In personal experiences and personal things, we ask, we doubt, when we ought to depend, when we ought to look upon Him. The only thing that stops God is on our part. The only thing that stops Him from blessing us is our lack of faith and our ability to come upon to Him believing. Our Lord is limitless and He can do as He pleases, but He has put some limits on Himself. There are some things that God will not do, God cannot do, God cannot lie. And so God has limited Himself in certain areas. And from the fall in the Garden of Eden until this day, mankind is ruined by sin. But our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says He's tempted in all points, like every man, but yet without sin. Thank God we have a sinless Savior. The ruin, the fall has come from the very beginning when they disobeyed God, when they were faithless, they doubted, and now they put themselves in a position of being disobedient, and they put a limitation upon what God would do for them. They turned their back and they tempted the Holy One of Israel. Israel did that. And disbelief can short-circuit the power of God. I'm afraid I've short-circuited God a whole lot in my life. Just not believing, not trusting fully and wholly in all the things that He has for me. He did not, the Bible says in Matthew 13, He did not many mighty works there because of what? Their unbelief. Talk about Capernaum. Capernaum was a blessed place. The Lord did many mighty works there. But through their unbelief, He ceased. It stopped because of their unbelief. So God is able to do. God's able to perform. Salvation is us believing and trusting on what He has promised. He said, if you call upon me, I'll hear you, I'll answer you. Romans chapter number 3, Romans chapter number 6, all those verses in Romans that we call the Romans roads, if we shall call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. That's a promise of God, and He will deliver that. Salvation is not, He doesn't force us, He doesn't make us little robots, but He says, call upon me and I will answer thee. Creation was a miracle that would be impossible for you and I, but the birth of Isaac was just as impossible for man as was the creation, because our God had the strength to do that. For God, with God, nothing shall be impossible. God came to man through Jesus Christ. Now, man must come to God through Jesus Christ. So that's our message. That's our story. That's the message that we tell the world, that salvation is through an individual, a man called Jesus, the man that the world hates, despises, rejects, makes fun, and doubts. But that does not change God's prerogative for the world. That does not change the ability for God to save the lost. It does not change God's power to help you and I to believe and to trust Him, to do those things that that are pleasing unto Him. God is able to perform all those actions because nothing is impossible, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.